you?
I'm Josh.
Josh what?
Ginsberg.
Well, nice to meet you, Josh Ginsberg.
Nice to meet you too.
Okay, if you're not in my shoe, I don't know who you are either.
I'm Josh.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I was in your shoe.
You were in my shoe, and then you disappeared.
And then what happened?
Hey.
That's good. You made a good decision. Okay. So here's... Does anybody here have a Haggadah?
No, I don't want to
get one.
Okay, yeah.
I can get one.
I'm going to give you a choice right now. Okay? I have two completely different kinds of things that we can do. One, I can give you some cute little vartluch to say at your Seder. Or we can learn something substantive.
Substantive.
So here's maybe what we'll do. We'll try to learn something substantive, and if we can sort of get to it quickly, we'll do a couple of little words left that you can say over the Seder too. Okay? So that's not the only reason that you're here to learn anything, but because you're going to feel pressure to say something. No, that's not really true.
To a degree.
Okay.
My parents sent it to a shul for 2 years. I got to accept something.
So.
I forgot.
Here's something that when I first saw this, I started scratching my head and I said, what? This is wrong. And then I realized that it wasn't wrong. I was wrong. You know, we all know that the Seder is built on Seder. I mean, right? You've got the Kadesh, Urchatz, Karbani. Everything has a place and an order, and you don't mix up the things except when we mix up the things. But everything is very, very orderly and organized. And so, first of all. What I'd like to do, to get the introductions, I'd like to learn with you a parak of Mishnah. Okay? And as we learn the parak of Mishnah, I'm going to warn you. Most people, as they're reading the parak of Mishnah, say, well, I know what the Seder is, so now let me just figure out, you know, which parts of the Seder is the Mishnah referring to. And that's a mistake. Don't start by assuming that the Mishnah is describing the Seder the way we have it. Okay? Let's read the Mishnah, and let's see what the Mishnah says. And we're going to discover, I think, that the Mishnah has an extraordinary concept of what this evening is supposed to be. Okay? And we're just going to build this just by learning the Mishnah. You might end up with like 15 vortlach from this also. Which, you know, in that case it serves lots and lots of purposes. Okay, let's pass these around. I'm going to save one copy for myself. Here we go.
Thank you.
Okay, the 10th parak of Masechet Pesachim, which is the source of much of what we know. I mean, especially the Gemara is the source. But the Mishnayot is where it starts. And here you have the whole thing on one page. Arvei Pesachim samuch lemincha lo yochal adam ad shetechshach. Okay, there's a Mishnah. The opening of this Mishnah is similar to Mishnayot that we have in other places about things you're not allowed to do after the time that Mincha comes on Erev blank. Erev Shabbat, there are things you're not allowed to do after Mincha. There are other days in Erev, whatever it is, after Mincha you're not allowed because we're afraid that you're going to get caught up in all sorts of things. In this case, Arvei Pesachim Samuch LaMincha, Lo Yochal, you're not permitted to eat until it gets dark. Why? Presumably.
Say, do you have any comments about mistake?
Oh, chametz is long gone from our houses.
Taiba, it's coming with taiba.
Right, that you should have You should have ta'ava for the meal. Okay? Now, va'afilu ani shebi Yisrael lo yochal ad she'asev. Can anybody explain the connection between the first line of the Mishnah and the second line of the Mishnah?
And he won't have food probably in the afternoon. Like, so it's like even someone who's been starving and needs food, guess what, to start.
Yeah, I feel like the emphasis is more on the she'asev.
What?
I feel like the emphasis is rather more on the leaning, the fact that...
That's act like kings.
Yeah, so... That's a little strange. Meaning, if we would say, Arve Psachim Samucha Mincha Leyuchal Adama Shetech Shafan Filu Anisha B'Yisrael, period. If there would be a period there, and that would be the end of the sentence, then you'd be right. I don't know who you are. Who are you?
Ethan.
Ethan. Okay? Then Ethan would be right. All right? Afilu Anisha B'Yisrael. Meaning, even somebody who doesn't normally have food, well, you're going to have to go a little bit hungry. I know you haven't eaten all day long, and if you've got a morsel of food in the afternoon, hold it until later. That's what I would... That would make a lot of sense. But that's not what it says. As Ross points... No.
Salt.
Salt. Right? Now he Salt has an O in his last name. Right?
Yeah. He's got you there.
Okay?
I've actually got two.
He got lots of them.
He got a spare. Okay. But the Mishnah doesn't say that. What the Mishnah does is it says a line that we might have expected and then jumps off into something else. And as Saul says, the focus over here seems to be Lo Yochal Ad She'asev. So there doesn't seem to be any connection between the first line of the Mishnah and the second line of the Mishnah. And then, watch with me. V'lo yifchatu lo mi'arba'a kosot shel yayin va'afilu min ha'tamchui. They should not give him less than 4 cups of wine, even from the food kitchen. Ha'tamchui was a food kitchen.
Community made.
Right. A community meal, they would set it up in the shul or in a soup kitchen or something, and all the poor people would come. Okay, so when the poor people come to their meal on the night of the 15th of Nisan, they should make sure that they have no less than 4 cups of wine. What just happened in this Mishnah?
Gave this our first thing we need to do.
What?
It's saying that we have to have 4 cups of wine. So
okay, now,
part of the statement.
Good. Now, don't just look at the last line of the Mishnah. Look at the whole Mishnah. Yeah.
We started very general, and now we went into a specific person. We went even further, speaking more specifically to the person.
Yes. We started by talking about people should not eat in the afternoon, and then all of a sudden we're talking about poor people. Afilu anisha beYisrael. Lo yochal et she'asev, and then v'lo yifchatulo. They should not look at the language here in the Mishnah.
Have less.
They should not give him less than 4 cups of wine, even if he's eating from the soup kitchen. Well, who is the they and who is the him?
I feel like it's probably the master and like a servant of the household, or like someone. I don't know if it's necessarily is it a poor person or someone that you would normally think of giving a certain amount of wine to, or a certain amount of food to, but this is like a mitzvah that every Jew needs to do, and therefore you have to even give them.
Well,
like a rabbi and the eved kind of
okay.
situation.
Josh, right?
Yes.
So what Josh is suggesting over here is that there are actually not two statements here in this Mishnah, but there are 3 statements in the Mishnah, each one of which has no connection to any other.
Well, obviously, the connection is the cups of wine.
The way Eitan was reading this, Eitan reads the Mishnah as starting off general and then focusing on the ani. And the rest of the Mishnah is talking about a poor person. The way Josh is reading this is, no. The first part of the Mishnah is talking about everybody. The second line is talking about a poor person. The third part is talking about anybody who's dependent on somebody else, like a servant.
Because maybe a poor person is also dependent on others to get the food for the Seder. So like it's San General, but in the middle.
Who are you agreeing with?
I think I'm making my third option, maybe. Can't remember what their two of things were.
Either these are three separate lines, or
obviously
the second two lines are.
They're somehow connected. That's all the mission was for. Just don't know how.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Jackson, but we're going to back it up. Like the way I see it is, referring to the poor person shouldn't have breath, because the normal person will be capable of having four cups of wine. And only the poor person will be going to a soup kitchen, so I don't see, so we can connect the poor person to leaning in the second part. So I think it's still one, there's just two parts, there's like a general, and there's talking about the poor person.
You've got the tamhui, you have a soup kitchen, that last line. The soup kitchen is anim. That's an ani. That's clearly an ani. Okay, so we have something interesting that happened here. The Mishnah starts by talking about the meal, or no, starts talking about Erev Pesach, or Arvei Pesachim in the afternoon, and then it switches to talking about an ani. And the focus here right now in the second half of this Mishnah is, the second two-thirds of the Mishnah, an ani. The ani has to recline while eating, and the ani has to be given four cups of wine, even if it's coming from the soup kitchen. Now, let's follow along the rest of the Mishnayot. Mazgulo kos rishon.
How much it must be in the first cup of wine? What's the mixture?
The mazgul, the mixture.
Okay. Okay, so they mixed for him. Let's simplify this. They poured for him. Wait a minute. Who poured for whom? Notice, again, there's plural and there's singular. They are doing for him. So who's pouring for whom?
Someone for the ani.
The people are pouring for that same ani. Right? This is connected back to the four cups of wine. Mazgulo kos rishon. So now we have machloket between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai amim mevarech al hayom, v'achar kach mevarech al hayayin. Beit Shammai say first you make the bracha for mekadesh Yisrael v'yazmanim, and then you say borei pri agaf at the end. Beit Hillel say the other way around, mevarech al hayayin, v'achar kach mevarech al hayom. I know the Gemara has their explanations for this, but right now I'm just learning Mishnah. And given that it seems that these Mishnayot are talking about a poor person. Okay? For a poor person, which of these two sheetot seems to make the most sense? Why?
Because now he's wine. He wouldn't
support
wine.
Yeah. Here's a guy who's not used to drinking wine.
Well, what about Tati Shetatali?
So actually, wouldn't it be the other way around? Because so not used to drinking wine. I don't like when Mario gets into this, but like, you meant to, you make the bracha on what's more common first, and wouldn't even the days be more. Like,
you're thinking very halachically.
Halachic, man.
Okay. Beit Hillel looks at this guy over here. He's not used to getting wine at a meal. It turns out he's going to get four cups of wine with his meal tonight.
So therefore the wine makes the day holy for him.
For him, the fact that he's got a cup of wine, that makes it special. Now you understand, for those of you who learned the Gemara, you understand what the Gemara explains about this. That the wine is actually what makes the Kiddush. Without wine, you wouldn't have Kiddush. Right? Without wine, you wouldn't have Kiddush at Hayom. For the poor, that's exactly the case for the poor person. For those people who didn't realize the Mishnah is still talking about a poor person, they don't understand what the Gemara is talking about. It makes sense. But when you realize we're talking about a poor person over here, all of a sudden, oh my goodness, now I begin to understand. Right? Beit Shammai would say, oh, you know why you should make a bracha on the day first? If it wouldn't be for Pesach, he wouldn't be getting wine now. They're thinking about it from the perspective of the poor person. Let's continue. Hey, vi'u lefanav. Notice the language that the Mishnah keeps using over here. Hey, vi'u lefanav. They're bringing to him. Right? We're talking over here not about what happens in your home, in your home, in your home. We're talking about the soup kitchen.
So even an ani has to be treated as a king on Pesach.
Let's read this. Hey, vi'u lefanav. They brought to him. Okay, we don't know what they brought to him, but we're about to find out. Mitabel b'chazeret ad shemagia leparperet hapat. Okay, now today, when you look in your Haggadot, they will give you pictures of the Seder plate with the machloket about what order the Seder plate has to be in. There's no such thing, by the way. And there are no halachot about the Seder plate. Seder plate is an invention that we invented a few hundred years ago, 500-600 years ago. Mishnah didn't. Bisman HaMishnah, they knew nothing about it. You told them Seder plate, they think you were crazy. Okay? Chazeret, so on your Seder plate diagram, it tells you what the Chazeret is. But Chazeret in the language of the Mishnah is a vegetable.
Just any vegetable?
There might have been, it's not so clear. There are some Mishnayot earlier, Masechet Psachim, and someplace else also. I don't remember where it was, or where I saw the word. But Chazeret appears, I think, only 3 or 4 times in all of the Mishnah. Right? In some places it means a particular kind of a vegetable. It's not clear what it means over here. But Mitabel b'chazeret. What does that mean?
He dips the vegetables.
How many times?
Ad
shemagia leparperet apat. Okay. Something about the bread, which you're not eating bread, right? So let me just explain the way meals used to be. Right? Anybody here go to an Israeli restaurant? Like an Israeli style restaurant.
Middle Eastern style restaurant.
Right? You sit down. Right, and even before you order, what do they bring you to the table?
Pita.
Yes, you get a pita or a lafa or something, and you get all these different little dips, and you're dipping in. This was called a meal. In the ancient world, that was the meal. The meal was bread, and you would take your bread and you would dip it into different kinds of things. And that's why, by the way, if you make hamotzi, you would say the meal, because hamotzi is the meal. It's not that just the ikar of the meal, the way halacha says it. No, that's what you ate. So you might dip it in a little bit of tchina, and a little bit of hummus, and a little bit of salatim of different kinds. That was your meal if you were very rich. So you would have a little bit of meat there. You dip it. Nobody sat down and ate a steak. That wasn't the way people ate. You ate by taking your bread and you dipping it into the different things. In many parts of the Middle East, people still eat like this. This is the way you have a meal. Those dips are called parperet hapat. The things that you put on your bread. Okay? So it could be a salad, it could be tchina, it could be a piece of meat, it could be some fish, it could be all sorts of stuff. That's the parperet hapat. So let's just see what the Mishnah says again. Mishnah Gimel. Hevi'u lefanav, they brought it in front of him. We don't know what it is, but we find out immediately afterwards. Mitabel b'chazeret, he should be dipping his vegetable, and I assume dipping, not just dipping and playing with his food, but dipping and eating his vegetable. He's got a little salad there, and you take a little bit of whatever it is, and you dip it in, until you get to parperet hapat. What's parperet hapat? Until you get to the meal. But you get your bread or its equivalent, right? It's going to be the matzah, right? Until you get your parperet hapat with the dip. What's the Mishnah telling us?
This your appetizer?
This is your appetizer. It's not telling us take a piece of parsley and dip it in there and make a bracha and make sure you don't have more than a kazayit. Which, about, you know, all the instructions in the Haggadah say. This is exactly the opposite. You have an ani who hasn't eaten and came the afternoon when he might have had a meal and he's told not to eat. And he comes to the soup kitchen. So first of all, in the soup kitchen, they tell him, get off your chair. We're going to have special pillows for you over here. You're going to relax like everybody else, even though you're in the soup kitchen. Right? Or in your home, right? Your home becomes the soup kitchen, right? Which, that's what the Haggadah does. Right? You turn your home into the soup kitchen. But let's keep to the tamchui over here. This is the soup kitchen. So first of all, you take the ani and you say, tonight you're going to eat like a king. Second of all, tonight you're going to get 4 cups of wine. Get a cup of wine? Wow. What do you do first? Mazgulo, they pour for him. He's being served, right? You're not groveling for the food. You're being served. And then they bring you vegetables. Now, somebody here said appetizer, and I would refine that a little bit. It's not just an appetizer. He doesn't need an appetizer. He's hungry enough.
He's going to have like a massive meal. So it's like a lot of food.
So this is the first course.
Starters.
It's the starters. He's got salad there to make sure that he doesn't fall apart by the time we get to the meal. It's crazy. But we're reading the Mishnah. This is the Mishnah's understanding of what's supposed to happen on the night of the 15th. It's crazy. It's like, you know, when you read Chumash without the Midrashim, you actually see what the Chumash says. When you read the Mishnah without the Gemara, you actually get to see what the Mishnah means. Our problem is we always read Mishnah with Kahati. Mm-hmm. Right? So you get into Gemara's interpretation of what the Mishnah means. And that's why Dafke gave you a Mishnah that doesn't have Pirushim on it. So you can see, this is what the Mishnah is trying to say. Continue on a Mishnah Gimel. Hey, view the Fanav. You notice the Mishnah is being consistent over here in terms of, right, the language. It's saying, hey, view the Fanav. Matzah, the Chazeret, the Charoset, Ushnei Tavshilim. So now they're bringing them the meal. And the meal consists of, here's the sandwich, the matzah, the chazeret, which in this case probably means the maror, the vegetable that's going to count as the maror, vacharoset, which is strange because where on earth did charoset come from? Who invented charoset? And I've always suspected that charoset is a play on chazeret. Right? You switch the two sounds. Ushnei tavshilin, and two foods. Afal pi she'ein charoset mitzvah. Even though charoset's a minhag, Rabbi Eliezer disagrees, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Tzadok says mitzvah. What the mitzvah is, I mean, hard to know. But the Mishnah says, Now you give them the meal. And this meal consists of the following elements. Uva mikdash, u'mivim lefanav gufo shel Pesach. Okay, when the mikdash was around, instead of the shnei tavshilin, you would actually bring around the body of the Pesach. Okay? And again, when it says they bring it to him, I assume it means that he's going to eat. What has not happened that Magid, right? Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, none of that stuff exists over here. The Mishnah doesn't know about any of that stuff. Okay? The Mishnah is describing what happens at this meal. Okay? But presumably, there's something that's happening during the time that he's Mitabel B'Chazeret. He's sitting there snacking on his Chazeret until they bring him the meal. Now, why is there no Magid?
He knows how it feels to be a slave.
Hmm?
The halakha of Maggie is to be to like tell your kids about Harry is to be to like come out of slavery. The guys, what's happening is the guys experiencing the change from being a slave to being a free person to what the people are providing him.
Ah, you're saying so it's exactly the opposite of Maggie. Maggie wants you to feel the avdut first, and here you're taking this poor person and you're treating him like a king.
Well, I mean, he's already been felt like he's already been treated like a poor person his entire life or his entire year.
So he doesn't need the Maggid. Interesting. Very interesting. Okay? I don't know what's happening during that time. But it's clear that you bring the food first. Okay? First you bring him the salad to nibble on. Okay? And then Mishnah says nothing about what happens while he's nibbling on the salad, and then make sure you bring in the meal, and that meal is going to include, especially Bizman HaMikdash, is going to include Gufo Shel Pesach. Let's carry on. It's very interesting. The Mishnah is unbelievable. Mishnah Dalit. Mazgu Lo Kol Sheni. Now you pour him a second cup. Kan Habein Shoel Aviv. And now the kid asks his father. Which kid?
The owner.
Sounds like the poor guy's invited to a seder. Sounds like the poor guy's
invited. Sounds like the poor guy's invited to a seder. He's not in the Tamchui, he's actually in your home. So, V'chan HaBein Shoel Aviv. What does the kid ask? What is the kid ask?
Well, the meaning of what they do.
Why is it
different?
Well,
sound clear.
And the Mishnah doesn't say what the kid asks. Because the idea over here is that we've done something that we don't usually do. Like, Friday night. How do you start your meal?
Bread first. I'm watching.
Before that, you make kiddush, you make hamotzi, and then you sit down, you'll have your appetizer, and you'll have your food, and together, right? What happens over here?
And the appetizer, and
you
had kiddush, and then after the kiddush, you did this. You did this chazeret, and then they brought the food. And then they pour another cup of wine.
Maybe it's notable that the poor man is in the living room in the first place.
Oh, maybe noticeable the poor man's in the living room in the first place. Meaning, something's different. So an intelligent kid is going to ask questions because you're doing something that's different from the way you normally do a Shabbat or a Chag meal. V'im ein da'at baben, but if the kid doesn't notice, the kid's not smart enough to see that there are things that are happening that are different. Aviv Malamdo. And his father has to teach him. And here's the father says, did you notice how this night is different? That's a rhetorical question. Well, look how different tonight is from all the other nights. This is not what the kid is supposed to say. This is what the father is pointing out to the kid. Son, did you notice anything different tonight? Do we do things differently? Did you notice that? Did you notice that? Did you notice that? He's talking about Bizman HaMikdash. Right, they would eat meat in all sorts of different forms prepared. Halayla ze kulot tzali, but the korban Pesach was eaten only roasted. Shebechol halaylot anu matbilin pa'amachat. There are different nuschaot over here in the Mishnah. Halayla ze shtei pa'amim. Not quite clear exactly what that's referring to. Ulefi da'ato shel bein aviv malamdo, and the father should teach the kid based on what the kid understands. Okay, so we have this meal. We have the stranger sitting at the meal. We're doing some weird things at this meal over here. And then the father should point out those weird things to the kids. And if, right, if the kid didn't figure out on his own, the father should point it out. Matchil b'gnudu misayim b'shevach. You have to start by talking about the things that weren't good and end with the things that are good. And I'm telling you right now, this line bothers me a lot. Because gnut does not mean the things that are bad. And shevach does not mean the things that are good. What does gnut mean? The things that are disgraceful. You should start by talking about the disgrace. And you should end with praise. Is servitude disgrace?
Well, servitude to something other than Hashem.
Is servitude, is being a victim disgraceful?
Yes, it's embarrassing.
Yeah, it's embarrassing if you had something, unless you say that somehow or another we're responsible for our own servitude. So the word gnut is I find a little bit uncomfortable, unless you say like the sheet in the Gemara that says, I think it's Shmuel, that says, no, you don't talk about slavery and freedom. You talk about mitchila uvdei avodah zarah yu avoteinu. That's disgraceful. Anyway, matchil b'gnut u'misayim b'shevach. V'doresh mi'arami oved avi ad shi'igmor kol ha'parasha kula. And you should learn the portion of Arami oved avi until you finish the entire section. Which is an interesting thing. If you have a couple of minutes, I'll come back to that. Okay? And I think it's important that we continue on in the Mishnah, and then maybe we'll come back and we'll say something, we'll say a word on Arami oved avi. Rabban Gamliel Hayomer, Rabban Gamliel said that the Resh Mi Arami Oved Avi is not enough. Right? Because the Arami Oved Avi Vayer Mesrema Vayagor Shamim Temaat Vyisham the Goy Gadol Atsum Varava Vayarei Votero Amisim Vayanunu Vayetnu Alinu Avodakasha. Right? The whole parasha over there tells the story. Rabban Gamliel says that story is not enough. Rabbi Gamliel Haya Omer, Kol Shelo Amar Shlosha Dvrim Elu BaPesach, if you didn't include these three things, Lo Yatsa Yedei Chovato. Ve'elu Hein Pesach, Matzah, U'Maror. These are three critical elements that you need to include in your story, in your drasha of Arami Oved Avi, somewhere in the context of what you're teaching your son, you have to include these three elements. Why these three elements? Pesach, why? Al shum shepasach hamakom avatei avoteinu b'mitzrayim. That God took, well, I'm going to spare you right now. But the word pasach has a number of different meanings. We only know one, but there's a different meaning that I like much better. Al shum shepasach hamakom avatei avoteinu b'mitzrayim. That God skipped over their houses in Mitzrayim. Right? Meaning, so you have to mention the fact that even though we deserve to be killed like the Egyptians, Hashem decided to save us. That's an important part of the story that's not included in the Arami Oved Avi, because the Arami Oved Avi doesn't talk about the fact that we deserve to die. Yeah?
Why are you saying that Pesach says that we deserve to die?
Well, when you say Pasach Hamakom Abatei Avotein v'Mitzrayim,
maybe it's because we specifically didn't deserve to die.
Hmm?
Maybe it's because we specifically did not deserve to die.
Then what's?
Analogy's pretty bad.
I'm actually not sure that we're arguing.
Okay.
And that's the Verachim. I'll explain later. Matzah. Ashum shenik alu avotenu b'mitzrayim. And maror. Ashum shemereru hamitzriim et chayei avotenu b'mitzrayim. Bechol dor vador. This is still the Mishnah. Right? The Mishnah continues. This is Rabban Gamliel. Or maybe it's not Rabban Gamliel. Bechol dor vador chayav adan lerot et atzmo ki ilu hu yatzah mimitzrayim sheneemar v'higadeta levincha bayom lahu lemor b'avur zeh asah Hashem li b'tzeitim mimitzrayim. So it's not enough to see yourself. It's not enough to talk about these things, but you actually have to imagine yourself being there. And the fichach, that's why anachnu chayavim lehodot b'halel l'shabeach b'fa'er l'romein la'ader l'varech l'yalei l'chaleis l'mi sh'asa l'avoteinu v'lanu v'kol ha'nisim ha'ilu הוציאנו מעבדות לחירות, מהגון לשמחה, מעבר ליום טוב, מאפילו ליאור גדול, משעבוד לגאולה, ונאמר לפניו, הללויה. Wow. The hold of our door, is it Rabban Gamliel or is that the Tana Kama? Tana Kama. I can buy that. The hold of our door, it's not enough to talk about the story. You have to actually envision yourself in the story. And that's why... Wait a minute. Can somebody explain to me what that lefichach is doing over here? Lefichach anachdu chayavim. Is this something you're supposed to tell your son? What is this? Is this a tefillah that they pulled out of the Haggadah and wrote into the Mishnah? What is this? Lefichach anachnu chayavim lahodot lahalel l'shabeach l'fa'er. Sounds like ishtabach, right? The romein hader levarech lialei ulekaleis l'mi sha'asah lahotenu v'lanu. You got that v'lanu? That's b'chol dor v'dor chayav adam lirot et atzmo. Lavotenu v'lanu et kol hanisim ha'ela. So what is this?
It's only natural that if you yourself were taken out, you'll be bursting with praise in every possible way.
But the language over here is so different. Who's the anachnu? Who's talking over here? Do you see the problem? What? Right. Yeah, but the language over here, the Chol Dor V'Dor, that's the language of the Mishnah. In every generation, okay, here's a chiyuv that you have. That's like Mishnah says, you have a chiyuv to do this, bring the ani into your house, you do this, you do this, you do this. This lefichach. What is this? Is this the Mishnah teaching us a halacha? Is this what the father is supposed to say to his son? What is this?
Could it not be him saying to his son, and that's why we have the obligation to do all this to the Torah? Because everyone was part of the mission, that's why it's his language.
So, I'm just going to try to read this, okay? I'm going to try to read this like the Tana Kama. Lefi da'ato shel aviv melamdo. Matchil v'gnut, v'sayim v'shevach, d'resh mi'ar avi oved avi, ad shi'igmor kol ha'parashah kula. That's an instruction to the father. The fichach, what is that? Yeah.
Could be
This is all linked in the sense that the father teaches his son in front of the Ani, so that everyone, we, the Anachmet, that everyone's getting the whole Seder. It's inclusive. It's everyone there.
So the Fichach is not the Mishnah telling us what our obligation is. The Fichach is the script that the father has to say. Is that what you're saying?
Sorry.
The Fichach is not the instruction that the Mishnah is telling. Right? Because the language otherwise should have been the Fichach Chayav Adam.
Yeah.
That would be the language of the Mishnah.
Yeah.
The Fichach Chayav Adam, the Hodot, the Halal, the Shabbat, etc. Right? So this is not instruction to us, but there should be a quotation mark here someplace. And this is part of the script that the father says to his son? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Does anybody have an explanation here of what? What does the Fichach connect back to?
The only other plural we have in the parak is the people who are feeding the poor man. So it makes sense for the Anachman to connect to that.
Yeah, but there the Mishnah is descriptive, talking about them. And here it's them in the third person. Heviu lefanav, and here is the first person. Anachnu in the first person plural. Anachnu chayefim.
This is what the father is still teaching the son.
This is what the father is still teaching the son. Which means, Daniel, I'm going to take a little bit of liberty with what you said. This is not a continuation of the Tanna Kamma from beforehand. This is a continuation of that pasuk that came just beforehand. Bechol dor v'dar chayav adam lirot et atzmo. Wait a minute. Is that an instruction to the father? Bechol dor v'dar chayav adam lirot et atzmo. Is that an instruction to the father?
Everyone sitting.
Yes. See, this is a long Mishnah and it's very complicated. Yeah?
I think you have to say that this little part at the end goes with the Bechol Dor V'dar Chayav Adam Lirot Et Atzmo because of the line of Lemisha Asar La'Avotenu V'Lanu to us.
Right.
Which means it has to be something present at that time. And the only thing that's not hearkening back to something that happened in the past is when the man makes himself currently look and seem as if he is just like.
So here's where the vert comes in, and I'm going to give you two vert connected to this because our time is going to run out very soon. The first takes me back to Arami Oved Avi. There's something very strange about the Haggadah, and by the way, it's strange about this parak as well. If I were to tell you, make believe that you don't know anything, and I were to tell you, like make believe you don't know what the Haggadah is, and you don't know these Mishnayot. I were to tell you that on Seder night you're supposed to tell the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim.
So what is
the story? What would be your primary text?
Shmot.
Is anyone passing through the
Haggadah? And yet Sefer Shmot barely appears in the Haggadah. The primary text for that Sefer Shmot is brought in because we're doing Dvarim, we're doing Arami Oved Avi, which is pretty backwards. So why is Arami Oved Avi the primary text? And I think, I mean, there are lots of really great explanations. I'm going to give you a very simple, primitive one. I think the reason Aramiel Vedavi is the primary text is because it's the first time we encounter people talking about Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Arami is the first storytelling about Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Since if it's Varen, it's not the primary story. It's the first time you find an instruction to people how to tell the story. Right? Yeah?
What about, like, they got to tell them how? Or is that?
So, that's not really Sipur Yitzhak Mitzrayim. We got to tell the Vincha, which, by the way, is in Dvarim. Yeah. Yeah. That's in Dvarim.
You sure?
Shmot, sorry. We got to tell the Vincha, Bavur ze asa Hashem li b'seitim Mitzrayim. That's it. That's it. There is no Sipur there. You don't have the story there. There are three parashiyot there in Shmot, and none of them do you have the story. But the first time you have the story being told, and the mitzvah to tell the story, and the text is Aramiel Vedavi. That's in Dvarim. And in the context of Aramiel Vedavi, that's the first telling of. And that then becomes the model for the Seder. That becomes the model for all future tellings of. Which is why I think it's the primary text. And what this Mishnah does is it does something really interesting. So that's vart number one. That we're engaged in this in the retelling, and that's the first telling, and we do the retelling. The second thing that connects to that is this whole long Mishnah, which is lifted almost word for word from the Mishnah and inserted into the Haggadah. I never understood it when we see in the Haggadah, and we see here in the Mishnah it doesn't make that much sense. But you look at what the Mishnah over here did, okay, even in terms of the language of the Mishnah. Go back to the top of that column. Lufi da'ato shel bein aviv melamdo. Matchil begnut u'mesayim b'shevach v'doresh mi'aravi oved avi ad sheyigmor kol ha'parasha kula. Here are instructions to the father. Rabban Gamliel haya umer, if you don't say these three things on Pesach, u'yatzai din chavato eluhein, Pesach matzah u'maror. Now, I'm going to rewrite the Mishnah the way it should have been written if this were written in the language of the Mishnah. Pesach hashum shes pasach hamakom al batei avotenu?
Batenu. Batenu.
Right? Meaning Shepasach hamakom al batei bnei Yisrael b'Mitzrayim. Notice what Rabbi Gamliel is doing over here, or what the Mishnah is doing to Rabbi Gamliel. I don't know who's writing that. Once you say batei avotein, you're no longer giving an explanation for Pesach, for what the father is supposed to be saying. And I'm not sure I'm being very clear with my words right now. What you're doing is you're starting to personalize it. Okay? Which means, just like Arami Oved Avi, right? Avi is making it very personal. So here too, Al Shum Shepasach HaMakom Al Batei Avoteinu. Rabbi Gamliel is starting the process over here. He's following that Arami Oved Avi, right, and personalizing it to himself. Shepasach HaMakom Al Batei Avoteinu B'Mitzrayim. Avotenu again. Not Nigalu Yisrael. All of a sudden, the father's voice appears over here. That's what's going on over here. Meaning, Pesach, Matzah, Maror, Rabbi Gamliel, over here, is already making a very subtle shift by talking about Avotenu and Avotenu and Avotenu. Right? He's already making the subtle shift. When you tell the story, don't tell the story as somebody else's story. It's your story. Okay? Meaning, Rabbi Gamliel is already starting the process based on Arami Oved Avi, Avi. So he's moving from the Avi to Avotenu. And he's taking that, you're not just reciting something, you're not just reading something, but you're talking about your family history. When people learn history, there are different languages that people can use. Okay? And you can use the language and history of a detached third person, or you can use the language of a history of the involved person. Right? This is what happened to us.
Reported speech. Reported.
What does that mean?
Like, you speak using their words.
Okay. I'll give you an example. I had a tour guide that I saw different parts of the country with. And he's somebody who he knew a ton. And whenever we come to an archaeological site, he would use the words, and here we discovered. Right? We discovered. He never said the archaeologists discovered. We discovered. It became for him a very personal thing. So the telling of this story, he became very much present in that story. And the archaeologists, we have discovered it before he was born, but he discovered it. He was with them. You know, it's sort of like, you learn in Gemara? Rashi said or Rashi says? So, in most yeshivot, they say, Rashi says like this, Tosfot argues. Not Rashi said.
He's present.
Right? But Rashi's here in the room, Rashi says like this, Tosfot argues, the Rikva says, right? The Magen Avraham paskins. Not paskined, paskins. The language that we use in learning takes all those historical figures and turns them into part of a conversation, a dialogue that we're having here today. We're not reporting it as a third person talking about what somebody else said at one point, or the archaeologist discovered, right? Or Shepasach HaMakom Al Batei B'nei Yisrael in the third person distanced. But Rabbi Gamliel, picking up his cue from Arami Oved Avi. Arami Oved Avi, he understands from that you have to put yourself into the story. And he takes this, he slides us away from the language of instruction of the Mishnah, and almost as if, as he's telling you what you have to say, he's experiencing it at that moment. That's what Rabbi Gamliel is doing. The line afterwards, Behold of Adar, I don't know if that's the Tanakhama, I don't know if that's Rabbi Gamliel, or I don't know if that's Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi adding something in over here. But what happened is, once Rabbi Gamliel slid us into Avotenu, Behold of Adar Chayav Adan wrote that that's Mo. No, go a step further. Go a step further. Not just, this is what happened to our ancestors, but this is what happened to us. V'igata levincha v'yom ahu le'mor ba'vorzeh asa Hashem li. And now we take it from Arami Obeid Avi to Li. And the Mishnah takes us, right? It goes out of the language of the Mishnah. It goes out of the language of teaching us halacha. The Mishnah is experiencing the Seder at this moment. That's what the Mishnah is doing. And they continue. Meaning, V'igata l'avincha b'yom ahu le'mor b'avur zeh asah Hashem li, and the fichach anachnu, as the father saying li, anachnu, you and me, son, anachnu chayavim lahudot l'halel l'shabeach. The Mishnah got caught up in itself. The Mishnah is demonstrating that this is what the Seder is supposed to be. At the Seder, you're not telling the story. You're reliving the story. You're re-experiencing the story. You're drawing yourself into the story. And as you draw yourself into the story, you draw others in. I started a minhag in my family a couple of years ago. We give out little slips of paper to all the people at the Seder. And the slip of paper asks questions. And they're not, we don't talk about the Haggadah. I don't give any Divrei Torah at the Haggadah, the Seder. I don't allow it. It's nice for printing books. It's nice for people who want to give fancy shiurim. But that's not what the Haggadah is supposed to be. That's not what the Seder is supposed to be. Seder is not supposed to be telling Divrei Torah about the Haggadah. What's the Seder supposed to be?
Our story of freedom.
Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim. So I give out a slip of paper to my kids and I say, tell us what it's like when you went to the park and the Egyptians told you no Jews allowed. Tell us the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim. Tell us your experience in Mitzrayim. And my parents, I give them a slip of paper. Tell us what it was like when you weren't allowed to go to work anymore and you had to work for the Egyptians. Tell the story. And we sit around, and every couple of minutes, somebody gets a slip of paper, and we tell the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim. We're not learning about the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim. We're not studying the Haggadah. We're doing Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim. This is what the mitzvah is. The mitzvah is Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim. And that's what this Mishnah is doing over here. This Mishnah, these Chachamim, the Tana Kama, Rabbi Gamliel, they got caught up. They start talking about Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim and they demonstrate in the Mishnah itself what Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim is. Arami Ovei Davi, Avotenu, Li. Li. That's why you, me, every one of us, we have so much to be thankful for. Because Hotzianu, right? Asan Avotenu Volanu. Hotzianu Miyavdu Lechirut, Miyagon Lesimcha. Numar Lefanav Hallelujah. Right? That the story about what's going on has to become your story. There's an author, and he's a journalist. He's written a lot of very interesting things. Yossi Klein Halevi, some of you may have heard of him. The first book he wrote is a book called Kaddish.
Called what, sorry?
The book is called Kaddish. And he even made a short documentary film, 34 minutes. His father survived the Shoah. And when he was growing up as a little boy, his father would tell him stories. So what are the bedtime stories that this kid, Yossi Klein Halevi, grew up on? He grew up on stories of, well, at nighttime. Yeah, it's nighttime now, son. So let me tell you what my nighttime was like. Nighttime was when we actually came out of the underground tunnels that we dug for ourselves. And at nighttime, we would go out. We didn't go to sleep in our beds. It was freezing out, but we didn't go to sleep. We went scrounging around to find leaves or grasses. or potatoes or garbage that we could eat that we scrounged around at nighttime. And then when we finished, we would take that back, we would eat it, and we'd crawl back into our hiding places and cover ourselves with the leaves, where we would lie down on the ground, all covered up, until the next nighttime. So these were the bedtime stories that he was told every night. Well, if that's what he was told from the time he was 2 and 3 years old, he said, by the time I was 8 years old, I believe that I experienced that. Those are the stories I grew up on. I lived that. I was there. I was in the forest for 2 years. That's Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. Tell the story until it's yours. Don't talk about the Haggadah. Talk about Yetziat Mitzrayim. I want to close here with just two words. It's getting late. I just want to close here with two words. We spent a lot of time focusing on this one Mishnah, right? And it continues a little bit more. And I think this is really the essence of what the Seder is supposed to be. And the essence of the Seder is not talking about the Haggadah or reciting the Haggadah. The essence of the Seder is supposed to be reliving, getting yourself into that, place where you can talk about it in the first person. I think it's a really important thing to try. Your parents might kill you, but it's a really important thing to try. To get yourself into that first person place. But there's the other part. And the other part of this, I think, is extraordinary. Because the entire story is told to us in the entire, right, the package over here that surrounds this is a story about the Ani. And the Ani becomes part of your house. The entire story, the entire Pesach Seder, is framed in the context of how to make the Ani part of that story too. And it starts in the first Mishnah and doesn't stop. Okay? So we saw the language of Lo yochal ad sheyasev, afilu min hatanchui, 4 cups of wine, mazgulo, heviulo, heviulo, mazgulo, and it continues. Jump for a second to Mishnah Zayin. Mazgulo kos shlishi. The Mishnah continues. It goes back to the Ani. We had this diversion in the middle. The core of the Seder is relive this story. But who's with you there? Everybody. Mazgulo mivarech al mizono. Rivi'i gomer alav et ha'alel. Okay? Binakoso ta'elev omer alav birkat ashir. He's saying, not you. He's saying, so bring yourself into Yitziat Mitzrayim, bring the Ani into Yitziat Mitzrayim. Ben HaKosot HaLalu, Emotza Lishtot, not if you want to drink, if he wants to drink, Yishteh, Yishteh Shilu Yivi'i, Lo Yishteh. The whole thing, until you get to the last two Mishnayot, the whole thing is framed in the context of the Ani. You bring him into your house, you make sure he's not starving, you make sure he's got good food to eat, and then, with the Karban Pesach sitting in front of you, and with a full belly, not with an empty stomach, this is the Mishnah, we do something very different, on a full belly, as you're eating this, the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim and the Karban Pesach merge into one thing. That's what you're doing. You've got the food there, and the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim, and then spontaneously you burst into Hallel. Look where we were. Look where we were. Look where we are today. Look where the Ani was. Look where the Ani is today. Okay. Adkan.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.